Take your Bible tonight, open it, if you would, to the book of Judges, Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 13, if you would. Might also remind you on that prayer list, pray for the Schooling family. Mentioned that family to you this morning and the death of Paul Schooling. Pray for them. And also keep praying for Brother Mudd, all right? Keep praying for him. Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 13, if you will. Notice what the Bible said. Let's just begin reading in verse 1. The Bible said, and the children of Israel did evil again. Notice that, again, in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren, and bear not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But ask him not whence he was, neither told me he his name. Now we're going to leave off reading there. I don't know about you, but I believe in learning from the mistakes of others. When others do something dumb or silly or wrong, I believe in learning from their mistake, okay? On the other hand, I also believe in learning from what they do right. And, you know, oftentimes we probably say more about learning from folks' mistakes. But there are some things that happen, like tonight, we look at somebody who did things right. We want to learn something from that individual. Now, the Old Testament was written and given to us for our admonition and our enlightenment. Don't ever get to the point where you listen to anybody say, the Old Testament is not for us. Man, that's not true. God said just the opposite in the New Testament, all right? Well, we can learn from what happened to people in the Bible. We can see what happened in their lives as they did the right thing and as they did the wrong thing. And doing that, we can get help for today by following the examples if they did right, okay? Now, don't follow the example if they did wrong, all right? But if they did right, we can learn and we can benefit by doing that. And what I want to look at tonight is I want to preach to you on the subject of the attitude that elevates. The attitude that elevates. The truth of the matter is much of the success or failure that comes to people today comes as a result of the attitude that they bring to the experiences in life. I bought a poster one time. We were in I can't remember what it was, but we were in a store. They were going out of business, and my wife hauls me down there, and they did a lot of, they sold a lot of stuff for bulletin boards and all that kind of thing. And I went down there, and they had this bulletin board up, and I saw this poster, and it says you can't do anything. Didn't say this exactly, but basically said you can't do anything about the direction of the wind, but you can set your sail. You can set your sail to take advantage of that wind. A lot of times we have experiences in life, and the attitude that we bring to those experiences is going to determine how good or bad things turn out, all right? How good or bad they turn out. Now, my wife, she's a very good woman, and the bad thing is she's been married to me long enough. She knows my patterns, all right? And we were yesterday trying to shop a suit, and we getting out of the car, and she said, now you have a good attitude. right? I just wanted to tell her, go in by yourself then, all right? Not even interested, you know, and I don't even want to go in the store. But the truth of the matter is, if we do approach things with the right attitude, it helps us. And I want you to focus tonight. Rather than an attitude of notoriety.
Right.
We live in a day today where everybody wants notoriety.
Right.
Yes, hey, I've got more followers on my Twitter account than you do. Well, I guarantee you, you got more than I do. Because I don't have an account, all right? But, you know, people today, they get all excited about all that kind of thing. And why? Well, they want that notoriety. The absolute insanity. We've got people today that will commit mass murder for one reason. They just want notoriety. They just want that little bit of notoriety. But I want you to notice Manoah's wife's attitude. Notice how she is identified, would you? In verse 2, it says, his wife. His wife. In verse 3, it says, the woman. In verse 6, the woman. You said, what are we getting at? We don't know her name. We don't know her name. There's five unique barren women in the Word of God who bore very famous sons. Very famous sons. All the rest of them, we know their name. The other four, we know their name. You say, who was it? Well, Sarah. She was barren, but God opened her womb and she bore Isaac. She bore Isaac. Rachel. Rachel was barren, but God opened her womb and she bore Joseph. Hannah, in the book of 1 Samuel. Man, she was praying and crying out to God to give her a child. God gave her Samuel. Then we get over in the New Testament. There's a woman by the name of Elizabeth. She was barren, but God opened her womb and gave her John the Baptist. But here in our text, we don't have any idea what her name was. The best way we can identify her is Mrs. Manoah. You know, that's who she was. That was it. We don't know her name. But I look at it, but unlike so many today, didn't seem to bother her. I don't think there was anything about her that made that deal. Why? Because she was more concerned about being available than she was of being well known. She just wanted to be available, all right? Unlike so many today, she was just willing for God to use her for his purpose. Hey, if God knew who she was, that was enough. God knew who she was. I want to tell you, I've said many times, my name's never going to be up in lights. Fine, got no problem. Got no problem. But hey, if God knows who I am, and God knows who you are, God knows who I am, that's enough for me, all right? I'm more interested in that and being available. She wasn't seeking a greater name recognition. She wasn't looking for more personal glory. She wasn't, you know, wishing for a wider audience. Hey, really, what matters is what God thinks of us. It's not what God, it's not what other people think of us. It's what God thinks of us. And are we available for him to use us? Is there anything he can do with us? Are we willing to say, Lord, hey, not my will, but thine be done? Are we willing to come along and say, no problem, Lord, you call my name, I'm here. I'm here. I'm available. Hey, we need to realize it's an old saying, but it is true. The greatest ability is availability. That's the greatest ability, availability. Just being available. You don't have to be, you go through the scriptures, it's not necessarily greatly talented people that God used. It was people that said, here I am, I'm available. I'm available, Lord. And like Isaiah, here am I, send me. Moses said, not me, Lord, not me. You got the wrong guy because I can't talk good. I just can't talk good, and I've got that trouble, and so the Lord said, I can take care of that. And Moses came around and said, okay, I'm available. I'm available. Just being available. Look, that's one of the greatest attitudes we can ever have, is just being available and not seeking notoriety, not seeking fame. It's not important, all right? It's not important that I be famous. It's not important people know my name. It's not important that I be the one whose name's plastered everywhere. No, I just want to be available to God. Lord, here I am. Here I am. Hey, can the Lord count on that attitude from you? Can He count on that attitude from you? Are you willing to say, Lord, I'm available. I'm available. Now, I know, and you've heard me say this a multitude of times, and you're going to hear it again. We're always afraid God's going to ask us to do something that, oh, that's the last thing in the world I'd ever want to do. And that's the last place in the world I'd ever want to live, and I just can't do it, and I'm afraid. Man, God doesn't call everybody to do those kind of things, all right? Sometimes God calls you to do and wants you to do what you enjoy doing. He can use your talent, your ability, your availability. It doesn't always, we're so fearful that, Lord, you're going to want me to do something that I'm just flabbergasted and petrified. Not necessarily. Hey, just be available. So here's this woman. The attitude she had was, Lord, I'm available. I'm available. Second thing, an attitude that I want you to see, it was an attitude of faith rather than fatalism, okay? Had Manoah's wife really wanted to, she could have had an absolutely fatalistic attitude to everything that was going on around her. Did you notice what the Bible said in verse 1? The children of Israel did evil again. Again. Now, wait a minute. That doesn't mean everybody in the nation was wicked. But as a nation, they went wrong. As a nation, the United States is going wrong. That doesn't mean everybody in the nation is wicked. Doesn't mean everybody in the nation's quit on God. But as a nation, we're going wrong, all right? She could have looked at that, and it says the Lord delivered them in the hand of the Philistine 40 years. And now here's this woman, and all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord appeared unto her. And it had been so easy for her to have thought, it doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter what I do. I mean, what big thing's going to happen? Because what will happen, and that's the attitude people have. What will happen, you know, and here I am. I'm just a little bitty cog in a great big system. So the truth of the matter is, it doesn't really matter what I do or if I do it. And she could have spoken to the angel of the Lord and said, why'd you pick me? Here I am, I'm a nobody. And I'm not in the tribe of Judah. That's the tribe the Messiah was coming from. I'm not in that tribe. And said, I'm completely off and outcast, and there's nothing there. And here it is. If I go along with this deal here, my actions aren't going to change anything. Have you ever felt that way? You ever felt that way as a Christian? It's really not going to matter. She could have said things have been like this for 40 years, so why should I think anything I'm going to do is change it? You know, we can get that fatalistic attitude if we're not real careful. We can get that attitude that it's not going to make any difference if I live right. It is not going to make any difference if I have faith in God. It's not going to change anything because here I am. I'm a nobody. Nobody knows me. I have no great name. I have no great platform. I'm not the one that's going to be plastered before the world. Nothing I can do. She could have had that attitude. A very fatalistic attitude. What's happening? It's happening. No big deal. Nothing I do is going to change it. I'm just one little old person right here, you know. Not going to matter what I do. But she didn't have that kind of attitude, all right? Her faith was not in herself. Her faith not in herself. Her faith was in the great God of the Hebrews. Can I say this to you? That's where our faith ought to be. The great God of this Bible. The great God of the book. It ought to be faith rather than fatalism. Nowhere in the Scriptures. Nowhere in the Scriptures do we see any kind of evidence that she doubted what God would do about the situation. You can read all of this chapter. There's no doubt in her. There's no doubt expressed about her. Neither do we see any evidence that she doubted what he could do. Hey, what he could do or what he would do is all right. Hey, yep, her condition was she was barren. So obviously this angel of the Lord show up, knew about her situation, knew about her physical condition. It was known, it wasn't unknown. But wait a minute, she served a God who could do the impossible. Do the impossible. He had done it before, and he could do it again anytime he wanted to. Anytime he wanted to. And so here he comes. That attitude of faith can and does make all the difference for you and me. Just believe in God. Believe in God. Now, faith is not something where you stake it out and say, I can do anything. But faith says, I can do what God tells me to do. I can do what God wants me to do. I can do it. That's real faith. I mean, here she is. Sitting there, I'm supposing a day like any other day, and all of a sudden the angel of the Lord appears. He finds her at a time when her husband wasn't around, and he appears to her, and he begins to lay out all these things for her. Her faith, though, was in the God of the Bible. It was in the God of the Hebrew people. That's where her faith was. Listen, if God moves on you to do something, whatever it is, if you'll trust him, you can do it. If you'll trust him, you can do it. It doesn't matter how seemingly impossible it is. If you'll trust him. Now, I'm not talking about what somebody else puts in your mind or heart. I'm talking about what God lays on it. That's where the faith is. Our faith is not in, well, I can just do anything I decide I can do. No. I can do what God lays on my heart and what God says for me to do, it can happen. And he can make it happen if I'll just do what he says. Do what he says. Now, we get to the third thing. You said, preacher's only three. That's right. You said, we're going to get out of here early. Not necessarily. Say, what's going on here? Here it is. Hey, the first thing about our attitude is an attitude of availability rather than notoriety. You with me? Availability. Here I am, Lord. Second thing is an attitude that says, Lord, it's going to be faith. It's not going to be fatalism. But the third thing I want you to see, it is an attitude of compliance rather than complaint. She could have complained. Now let's face it. Many would have said that she had plenty of reason to complain. For years she had been barren. We don't know how old she was. But for years she had been barren, seemingly neglected. Hey, she was living in difficult times. You did notice there that the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines. They had been in the hands of the Philistines 40 years. The Philistines were not the friends of God's people. And that was the situation in when she lived. It was a day of wickedness, where wickedness reigned. And now all of a sudden, here this angel of God shows up and begins to demand some things that she keep all these rules. Look what it says. Thou shalt conceive in verse 5. No razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God. But you back up to verse 4, he said, now you don't drink any wine or strong drink or eat anything that's unclean. Wait a minute. I've been running all these years, wicked day, having no child. Hey, in that day, that was a terrible thing for a woman to not be able to have a child. In our day, people can and don't want them and will kill them if they get pregnant, all right? But in those days, it was looked at, a child was looked at as a great blessing, and every woman wanted to bear a child, and here she is. She could have said, all this time, I've had to endure all the snickers from everybody else and all these other hateful women out there that are pointing, saying, look at her, she can't have a kid, all right? I wonder what she did to keep that from happening. You said, preacher. Yeah, people haven't changed much, okay? They're still like that today. They were there then. But here's this fellow shows up and said, I got all these rules. She could have said, whatever happened to liberty and freedom in Christ? That's what people want to do today. If somebody had come in our day, somebody would be crying, legalism! But this is God. I want you to notice Manoah's wife decided it was a lot better to comply with the command of God than to complain and gripe about the trouble she had. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to tell you this. I may not be a professional at anything else, but I can be a professional griper. I know how to complain. I just know. And if there's nothing, I can find something. If nobody else can find anything to complain about, I can. Oftentimes I ask people, how you doing? Oh, can't complain. I said, I could. Come on, let's be honest. We're good complainers. We get up in the morning and complain. Man, it's raining. This evening we get out and say, man, that breeze is cold. And here it is, damn cold, both. Let's stay home, watch it on TV. Hey, we can complain, we can gripe. Whatever, we know how to do it. We get somewhere and we go, man, we go out to eat, so I don't like this food. It wasn't warm enough. You didn't give me enough. And what's wrong with the waiter? It takes you too long to get to the table. We can complain. We can gripe. We can complain. But Manoah's wife, she said, wait a minute. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be the person that's a griper and a complainer. Instead, I'm going to comply with what God wants. Even to the point, look at verse 13. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah of, I want you to look at that next word, all. Of all that I commanded her, let her observe. Hey, even if she had to do everything that was given to her to do, her attitude was not, I'm going to complain. I'm just going to gripe about it. I'm just going to complain and bellyache. Listen, I want to say this to you, all right? Sometimes life's going to throw you a curve. Some things that are going to happen to you are going to be unpleasant. They're not going to be, you can say, this is not what I planned on. Hey, this is not what I bargained for. Well, it's called life. You got a choice. You can complain. You can just gripe all the way everywhere, all right? You can complain to everybody. But I'll tell you, Manoah's wife, she knew that the blessings of God are connected to purity of conduct. She realized, you know what? the blessing of God lies with the one that will comply with what God wants. I will do what he asks. If you want his blessings, then you decide, I'm going to live right, I'm going to live clean, I'm going to live holy, I'm going to live an obedient life. Yeah, but look at all the problems. They're out there. Preacher, I started doing what you said and everything fell apart. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Hey, listen, we don't obey the Lord because everything goes right. We don't obey the Lord for that reason. Can you ever think about the Apostle Paul? God called him to go and he went. If anybody could have complained, he said, Lord, what's the deal? Everywhere I go, the first thing you want to do is throw me in jail. And all I'm trying to do is just preach what you told me to preach. Every time, I mean, it was, here we go, we're off to jail. Lord, this is the third time I've been beaten because of what you said to do. Anybody could complain, he complained. But we get the idea somehow or another in this day that if you do what God says, everything's going to be just hunky-dory. That's bound to be in the dictionary. If it's not, bring your dictionary. I'll write it in, okay? But, we look at life and we think everything's supposed to be wonderful. We're not supposed to have a problem. Where in the world did you get that idea? Hey, listen, there's going to be troubles. But that doesn't mean we quit doing what God says. That doesn't mean we let the attitude degenerate to where we begin to complain. And you say, well, does that mean we can't ask God why? No, but you need to be careful about your attitude when you ask him. You need to be careful about your attitude when you ask. I don't believe there's anything wrong with asking God why. If your attitude's right when you ask. If it's not as a complaint, all right? Hey, it is always better for you and I to comply with what God demands rather than to gripe and complain about it. Always better to comply. I mean, it is just better to comply. Griping will not change his will. My complaint is not going to change God's will for my life. My complaint that says, well, you know, it could have been better, Lord. I don't know why it's got to be like this in my life and why I've got to suffer these things. Well, just tough. Brother Smart came in this morning and said that Dalen back there has been suffering several days this week with kidney stones. You know, and I could have said, well, tough luck, buddy. So what? Hey, man, I know what those are like. Know what those are like. There have been many times I have thought, Lord, do we really need to go through this again? You know, but griping doesn't change it. Griping doesn't change it. Now, I'll tell you what it will do. It can make you and everybody around you miserable. You want to be a griper, make you miserable, make everybody around you miserable. Hey, if you work at it hard enough, you can get them to gripe with you. And that, the more gripers you got, obviously, the more that changes things, right? No, but I got somebody to feel sorry with me. Go ahead. Doesn't change a thing, right? Boy, it doesn't help it, all right? But if you'll decide to get in on the blessing of God, you can. Just decide, you know, I'm going to do what you say, Lord. Here's Manoah's wife. Here she is living in difficult days. Difficult days. She has no notoriety. Here we are years and years and years and thousands of years later, and we don't know what her name is. Bible gives us no indication of it. But wait a minute. Here's a lady that decided, okay, I'll do what you want me to do, and I'm not going to complain about it. I'm going to comply. And Lord, I'm just going to trust you. And by the way, when her son was born, it would have been great if he had grown up to be the most obedient young man you've ever seen. But he didn't. Now, he's well known in the Bible. Well known in the Bible. Hey, he's known in the world of people who never read the Bible. But what he's known for that way is not for being a great Christian, if you will, not for being a great believer, and not for being a great follower of God. Many times his parents would come to him and say, "Hey, son, why are you doing this? Why can't you do what God wants?" And his reply was, "Hey, you do it because I like it. I like it." That was it. Hey, but God still blessed Manoah's wife. She bare the man that we know as Samson. She bore him. They raised him. I personally believe they raised him right. I believe they raised him right. They followed the admonition of the Lord here about these things. Don't drink any wine or strong drink. Don't eat any unclean thing. Don't touch him. You know, he's going to be a Nazarite from his youth up. And so you're not going to cut his hair. But he said he's going to begin to deliver Israel. And he did. But boy, sometimes he could be pretty wicked in the doing of it. But God still used him because he was the tool God sent. But he was able to be born because there was a woman only known to us as Manoah's wife who said, "I'll have the right attitude." Hey, you've got a choice. You got a choice about what kind of attitude you're going to have. You can let what happens to you beat you down. You can let that happen if you want to. You can let it overcome you, but you don't have to. The question is, what kind of attitude are you going to have? Are you willing to have the attitude she's had that said, "I'll make myself available to God. I'll make myself available"? Hey, is it an attitude of faith? Or is it an attitude that says, "Oh, what's the use? What's the use?" It's your choice. Is it the attitude of a complainer or one who's compliant to God? Once again, your choice. Your choice. I can't bend your attitude. Now, we talk about an attitude adjustment. All right? And you're here and you... I know what you're thinking because, you know, he said, "Yep, I had some of that when I was a kid." Kids need that. They need to work on that. But why do you make God do that to you? You're not a child. You're not. Children are foolish. The Bible said foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And you have to work to get it out. You're not a child. What's your choice going to be about your attitude? What's it going to be? You're going to have that attitude, "Lord, here I am, I'm available. I'm going to trust you. You want me to do something, you let me know. I'll trust you. I'll give it everything I've got. I will do what you say. I'll do what you say. It is up to you." Heavenly Father, would you help us tonight? Manoah's wife, very unknown individual.